The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Infectious Disease Board Review Questions is presented by Dr. Gerald Blackburn.
Well, thanks to Dr. Blackburn for filling in and running the whole show in infectious disease. And we really appreciate that. And we have a few board review questions.
If you guys get these wrong.
Okay, the first question. A 21-year-old male presents to urgent care with a one-week history of dry cough, malaise, and low-grade fever. His roommate was sick with a similar illness 2 weeks ago. Chest x-ray demonstrates hazy infiltrates, I guess that's bilateral, your initial treatment should be?
I can say this was not my question. I assume he's going after mycoplasma. And doxycycline would be fine.
Okay. A 62-year-old male with a history of tobacco abuse and diabetes mellitus presents with a fever of 101. 0.7 and productive cough. He was diagnosed with influenza A last week and completed a course of you suspect a secondary bacterial pneumonia due to.
Not my question, but you're all right. So.
A 36-year-old HIV-positive patient on Combivir, Sestava, presents with a two-day history of fever, chills, and malaise. His CD4 is 545, viral load less than 20 copies. Patient's chest x-ray shows a dense left lower lobe infiltrate. You suspect pneumonia due to?
You guys are killing me. This is strep pneumo because the CD4 count is above 200.
A 64-year-old Hispanic man presented to the hospital with progressive shortness of breath. CT of the chest demonstrated a large right side pleural effusion. Thoracentesis was performed and demonstrated 76% mononuclear cells. You suspect a diagnosis of?
I'm glad these are not my questions, but I agree. This would have to be TB. Although, don't forget, pleural effusion with TB is often a primary TB. It's not the typical reactivation TB that we all think about. So if you have a empyema that you think is TB, think about it being primary, which means also you have to say, where'd this person get this? Especially if the patient, individual has been here, and let's say from Mexico, but he's been here for a year or two. There's something not right about that history. This is not reactivation. He's gotten it from someone else, probably a family member or someone in his circle. So that's sort of, I don't know if that was the intent, but don't forget about that.
An ICU nurse presents to the employee health clinic to have her PPD read. There is a 2 millimeter of induration and 11 millimeter of erythema. You tell her, and the choices are, A, she needs to see an infectious disease specialist for 9 months of INH and vitamin B6. B, she needs to go to the ER for a stat chest x-ray to evaluate for active TB. C, she will be referred to the health department for initiation of 4-drug therapy, including INH, rifampin, ethambutol, and pyrazinamide. Next one, she should receive a repeat PPD in 1 year. And the last one, she needs to wear an N95 respirator while seeing her patients.
Well, and this is really saying that she didn't convert. At 2 millimeters, that's a big nothing, assuming the test was done well. And the 1 year isn't really magic. It depends. She should be part of the normal hospital routine. Our hospitals now does every 2 years because we're, quote, low risk. So in the right hospital, it'd be 1 year. In our hospital, it'd actually be just come back in 2 years.
A 27-year-old male presents with headache, photophobia, and nausea for 2 days PTA. He complains of swollen glands and fever to 100.1. LP demonstrates 132 WBCs with 84% mononuclear cells. In addition to CSF cultures, you should consider testing patient 4. And I think those are readable.
Yes.
C, correct answer. An 8-year-old boy presents to the ER with headache, loss of sense of smell, poor appetite, and malaise. He was at a Boy Scout camp water skiing this past weekend. In spite of intensive care, patient dies 72 hours later. You suspect infection due to?
Also correct. Diving, water skiing, bad diagnosis.
A 75-year-old woman presents to the ER with a 103-degree fever, headache, neck pain, and rash 2 weeks after a vacation to California. Upon arrival to the ER, patient is having trouble standing. LP shows lymphocytic pleocytosis. The most likely diagnosis is?
Let's go back. I didn't write this question either. Okay. I don't know if I would have gotten this one. Well, you'd have to think about cocci. Often cocci meningitis has eosinophilia with it. So maybe the absence of eosinophilia, you don't usually have a rash. So I guess I'll agree with the West Nile, but I'd give everyone partial credit for thinking about cocci. How's that?
An otherwise healthy 32-year-old is seen in your office in the ER soon after a cat bite. You decide to give an antibiotic. Which of the following is most likely to be ineffective?
Keflex. Don't give Keflex.
The day after your patient was in a flight after, quote, having a few, end quote, he presents to your office at ER with a swollen hand that he thinks was the result of hitting someone in the mouth. Which of the following is most likely to be ineffective?
Looks like they listen.
Yeah, because of the Iconella issue.
After diagnosing secondary syphilis, a rash involving palms and soles of a traveling salesman, you should recommend all but the following.
You listened. Oops, you didn't listen. Okay, because this is for those folks who you don't know when they contracted syphilis, i.e., it could have been over a year ago, or a year ago, but secondary syphilis follows primary within a matter of weeks or so. So this would only be two injections, but one time, not the three a week apart.
Which of the following organisms is an unlikely cause of endocarditis?
Thank you. Oops. No, not Staph aureus is a major player, especially if they've been hospitalized.
I think they really hit the wrong numbers on their answer. Which underlying cardiac condition does not warrant endocarditis prophylaxis?
Okay, thank you.
Correct. Your patient with a recently placed prosthetic aortic valve is about to undergo dental extraction. She reports anaphylaxis to amoxicillin. Which of the following should be offered?
Usually it's clindamycin. Doxycycline, not so much. Cipro is a lousy gram-positive drug. And to repeat after the procedure is no longer recommended.
Within a 2 to 3 day time period, multiple patients with an ECF are seen in your ER with severe nausea and vomiting and non-bloody diarrhea. What is the most likely explanation?
Yep.
Okay, a colleague's wife, that sounds familiar, presents to your office, ill-appearing with severe abdominal pain and bloody diarrhea. Dietary history is not helpful. What should not be offered?
It depends on the colleague.
Give no sympathy. During the window phase of acute HIV infection, individuals, one, are most always quite ill. Number two, commonly present with opportunistic infections. Number three, should have CD4 and viral loads obtained. Number four, are considered highly infectious. Number five, need counseling and support.
Totally. Most of the time, you won't even know yet that they're HIV positive. And the counseling takes time and all that other stuff. But they are loaded with virus, and they are highly, highly, highly contagious.
Suspecting acute pneumocystis pneumonia, which is the most important study to immediately order?
No, you want the blood gases. You need to know about the steroids. And your turnaround time on viral load and CD4 count will be long after you've intubated them and or doing what else you are for them.